It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Quick turnaround, obviously, for the Mets as they celebrate, get on a plane, head up to Milwaukee, and they've got a playoff game tonight in a wild card series against the Milwaukee Brewers. They were right there. They're right in Milwaukee. It could have stayed there. Didn't work out that way. Had to go down to Atlanta and provide this unbelievable moment down in Atlanta yesterday in that first game. But now you got Severino on the mound, who was drinking water, by the way, in the celebration. I'm sure people were watching him.
Good.
He said he just had everybody spraying the champagne and drinking the beer. And he's drinking water. Listen, I got a pitch tomorrow. I don't blame them for celebrating, because I really, for whatever reason, I was hung up on the fact that they never got a chance to celebrate in 2022. Because they didn't. I mean, they were supposed to win the division. They screwed themselves, but they just, the way that it ended up working out, they never got a chance to celebrate. So I was like thinking, like, is this another situation with this doubleheader where they're not going to be able to celebrate? Now, Major League Baseball told them that they weren't allowed to celebrate in between games 1 and 2. So then they end up in a weird way. You know, they lose a baseball game and then celebrate. So, which happens, you know, when teams clinch in other ways where they back into the playoffs, but, you know, they lose a game after winning a game, and then they celebrate afterwards, and then the Braves are celebrating in the other clubhouse, and then a bunch of players got together on the field and they celebrated together, which
was weird. It's
strange.
So strange.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, that's the way the season ended, and it was all because of that unfortunate hurricane that hit last week, and the remnants, I don't know if you've seen the remnants of this. Oh my God, it's like those poor people in Valdosta, Georgia, and also Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. Oh, I didn't even realize how, you know, the path was going in that direction.
Well, rivers flooding,
yeah,
and then rivers having nowhere to go, the water having nowhere to go because there's no, like, end to the rivers.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ends to the rivers, but they don't go all the way to the ocean. They don't go all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. They just end. And then all of a sudden, all of that stuff just backs up, and it's awful.
Right,
absolutely,
Eddie?
Awful. Right, Eddie?
Right, Eddie. Yeah. What were you saying about Karen Stewart?
Yeah, she's been out the last few days because she has no power.
Well, where does she live?
Not here.
Oh, okay.
She's doing traffic.
We're pulling behind the curtain too much here now?
She's good at what she does.
We love Karen. I thought she was here. She's in, like, North Carolina or something?
In spirit.
Okay. Georgia?
Perhaps.
Well, I'm moving.
How come Karen Stewart gets to do the show from a no-tax state? Yeah. Here we are, huh? You can see that conversation happening a little bit later.
By the way, speaking of the Mets, did you see the Steve Cohen plan for the Citi Field Entertainment District?
Yeah, so there's a little bit more detail there with the partnership with Hard Rock, as they're trying to get one of the two downstate
three
downstate casino licenses. And yeah, I mean, the renderings look amazing.
Yeah, $8 billion renderings, and entertainment district. It obviously is going to have a sports book and it's going to have a casino and everything else and hotel rooms, but a lot of public space, public parks, ball fields, renovated train stations over there. I mean, it looks like they're going all in to try to impress the state to get one of these licenses.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of heavy hitters. I mean, this is like heavyweight central when it comes to these licenses. Guys who normally get what they want going up against one another, and somebody's not going to get what they want, and it's going to be really interesting to watch. Let's go to Daryl, who's in Queens, wants to talk some Mets this morning. What's going on, Daryl?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. And before I get to my point about the Mets and you, Gio, just want to appreciate and thank you guys for talking about Dikembe Mutombo. A lot of folks don't remember him back in the late 90s, early 2000s when he came up and actually helped the Sixers get to the finals. That was a huge, you know, they actually called him Nigerian Nightmare before Christian Okoye, even though he wasn't from Nigeria, he was from the Congo. But anyway, Gio,
yeah.
Do you think it's a little disingenuous for you to kind of be number one Mets fan at this point?
Who I know said you I was are number one Mets fan.
That's Evan.
I never said that.
You want to surpass Evan as number one Mets fan all of a sudden, but you have to really
hold on, Daryl. Be fair. I'll leave you on. Be fair. At what point did I say I wanted to be the number one Mets fan and said I was more into it than Evan Roberts or Tommy Lugau? I never said anything like that.
No. You never said it, but you're coming across now as like, oh, I'm the number one Mets fan. My mom this and that. Like, you know what?
No, nobody thinks that but you, man. Nobody.
No,
I never.
Across that way.
How?
You're coming across as like,
the Mets win a game, right? That is a huge game. And I come on here and talk about how it was great for everybody who's a Mets fan. Never said that it was great, better for me than other people. I don't understand that at all.
I would take a step back and get off your high horse with the Mets. I think you're a little too high on the Mets.
I'm not on a high horse.
Yeah.
Oh, who won a high horse?
A little bit.
How?
You're a Yankee fan last week, and now you're number one Mets fan?
Let me hold on a second. I'm not the number one Mets fan. I never said that. You're putting those words in my mouth.
I know you're... No. You never said it, but you're coming across that way.
So you're... you are putting words in my mouth, then. You never said it.
I'd rather not do anything.
But that's how you're perceiving it, right? That's your perception. Okay, well, you're
right. Correct.
Listen, can't we all just get along? It's so great when one of our teams actually win that we root for.
First of all,
it's so great. And I'm not the number one Mets fan, but I am the oldest. I am the oldest Mets fan here. And I've been around the longest. I was there for the Amazons and everything else in between. I don't remember quite as much as you do, the way that you remember certain aspects of the Mets negativity and all that. You and Evan are like encyclopedias when it comes to that stuff.
No. I don't want to be in the same breath as Evan.
I know.
Hold on. Let me defend myself for a second.
I'm defending you.
Yeah, I don't need it. Okay. I want to defend myself.
Okay.
I have never, ever said that I was a bigger Mets fan than anybody here, especially now. All I've talked about is how all those years when I was going and I put in the time kind of beat me down to the point where now, as a 42-year-old with two children and other responsibilities, that the Mets aren't as high in my priority list as they used to be. I've been totally open on that. But this morning, what am I supposed to do? Come on here and be like, you know what? I don't care. It's not true. I was into it yesterday. I'm glad they made the playoffs. But the people who are the fan police out there that are telling everybody how to feel about their teams is ridiculous.
Can I just be your witness?
Yes.
I'll be your witness. You've never come across that way. You've come across realistically, pragmatically.
Yeah.
And I think that is because of your age and because your current lifestyle right now. Things have changed, but you also looked at things less emotional than you did.
Exactly.
That's what I will say. And you know, when something like this happens, because it hasn't happened a lot, this is going to go down as one of the great games in Met history, as I said earlier this morning, that we will all remember where we were when Francisco Lindor hit that home run.
Yeah.
And we're all happy about that.
And I mentioned it even before it happened, and this was going to be a day that we remembered for a very long time. And, I mean, just...
Well, there you go. Listen, whether you're number one or number 100.
I don't...
You know what? You're a Met fan. I'm a Met fan. and we're happy today.
And I've
nobody can take that happiness away right. from us.
And I've said this too consistently. Like, if the Mets win a World Series or Vikings win the Super Bowl, it'll be for all those years that I was like living and dying with the team. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Like, if the Vikings won the Super Bowl, it wouldn't be for me like so much about Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell and the guys who got it done. Great, and they'll live not infamy, but they'll live forever in Minnesota as legends. But
lore.
For me,
lore.
Yes, thank you. But for me, it'll be about, you know, the Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Jake Reed, John Randall, Randall McDaniel, Orlando Thomas. Like, that would be same thing with the Mets. It'll be like for, you know, back in the day with Edgardo Alfonso and Mike Piazza and, you know, Benny Agbayani and Jay Payton and all these guys. Like, that's what it'll be for. It's just different. Like, when you...
Hansel Robles.
When you... right, Hansel Robles and all of those times.
Hansel. I call him Hansel.
Hansel Robles.
Hey, Chris in New Jersey, what's happening?
I'm listening to Gio go on, but it's clear he is no Mets fan. I've listened to him for years. This guy wants to jump on his bandwagon now? Come on.
I'm not fine. Listen, I put in my time. I'm not jumping on any bandwagon. But you want to be a bigger Mets fan than me? Go ahead.
Whatever,
be a bigger Mets fan.
Happy today. Come on, man. It's a good thing.
Why does... you know, it's so... This Mets fans, this is why they are becoming close to the most annoying fan base in town. It's still the Giants fan. But the Mets fan is becoming, because they've got this inferiority complex thing that goes on. And they're out to, like, get everybody that doesn't think like them. And they're like, oh, you're crapping on us. I'll get you. You Sal Licata, who do you think you are? Where were you? Where were you when we were 11 games under 500? Where, like... Get over it.
I can't believe that I'm in this stage of my life and I'm fighting over who's more of a Met fan.
I mean, it's exactly.
It's so juvenile.
Right. Like, don't suck me into your loserdom. Don't do it. You want to be spinning around in your cesspool of loserdom. Go ahead, do it. I'll be over here watching you go down the drain. All right. Let's go to Len in Queens. What's going on, Len?
Hi there, how are you?
All right, Len, what's big happening?
I listen to you guys every morning. Big Met fan here. My thought and my real perception of this whole situation, never have the Mets ever won a bigger game against the Atlanta Braves. And if they don't win, I don't want to say negatively, but if they don't win another game, I am not going to look on this season as any kind of disappointment. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree with you, Len, that the fact that the expectations matter in this situation, where in 2022 you felt like they had to win this year, you didn't think, at least I didn't think, that they were going to be this good, and they provided so much entertainment. So, yeah, I do believe that this season has been a tremendous success, regardless of the outcome. It could be even more special, and the team's going to try, and we're going to hope that they win, but it's still been a tremendous success. I was thinking about this. It's funny Len brought that up. I mean... I was trying to think, there has not been a bigger win over the Atlanta Braves.
No.
Maybe the Mike Piazza home run, the 9/11 home run game, but that team never made it to the playoffs.
Right. So the point about this whole thing is that it was Francisco Lindor doing what he did in the ninth inning. I mean, that is storybook kind of stuff. And he had a storybook season. He had a great year. And when he hits the home run and they retake the lead, and just the excitement that all of us all felt at that moment is the moment. And it is the biggest win against the Braves. But here's the one thing I will say. It wasn't a winner-take-all game. That's the only thing that just notches it, takes it down a
notch. Yeah, I'm right. And I mentioned that earlier. That did have, even if Diaz had blown that save and didn't, you know, Lindor doesn't hit the home run, they still had the safety net of the second game. So I mentioned the Piazza home 9/11 home run, also the Ventura grand slam single that won game 5 of the NLCS against the Braves in 1999, but they eventually lost that series, the Kenny Rogers walk and all of that. But
see, these are the types of things that you can recollect.
Yeah.
Which I think are, you know, your validation as a Met fan.
I'm not looking for it.
And nobody should ever question that. But nobody should ever question that.
I
like, this is as simple as this.
I go back to you have to have heart.
Right. Yeah, those guys singing on Ed Sullivan show. Yeah. Like, it's as simple as this. Like, and I think many, many fans and many people listening can agree with this. Like, when you're younger and things are going well in your life, which I was very, very fortunate to have this, sports are the number one thing. Your favorite moments in life come from sports.
Yeah.
Your horrible moments come from sports. And so my memory and that, and I was so into it, I went down to spring training for all these years and training camp. But like, as you get older, you enjoy it. And we do a talk show where we're talking about it. It's one of the many things that we talk about here. But I'm not spending my money and my time like I used to on the team. And I'm not hiding from that.
This game yesterday for the Mets reminds me of the Larry Johnson four-point play game. Reminds me of Messier's hat trick in Game 6 against the Devils.
Yeah.
It reminds me of moments like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's like, it's not the championship game when the Rangers won the Cup, but it was the road to the Cup. It was, you know, the Knicks unfortunately didn't win a championship that year, but that was a huge shot. You know, and some young kids will probably think about last year's Dante DiVincenzo three-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
mean,
and I get that. That yesterday was that for us Met fans. That's a moment we'll all remember.
Yeah, it was certainly a moment. So just to clarify too, because now I got a bunch of texts of people now like bringing up moments, like big home run moments. We were talking about against it. Has there ever been a bigger win against the Atlanta Braves that you could remember? And I can only go back to
it's the way this happened.
Right? Yeah,
it's the way it happened. It's not like the Mets won the game 3-1. It's the Mets were down.
Yeah,
took the lead, blew the lead. And came back and took the lead back, all within basically two innings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
it was the eighth and the ninth inning that were incredible. The seventh, up to the seventh. And by the way, Tylor Megill pitched pretty well.
Yeah.
He didn't pitch bad.
No.
But he was getting beat.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so 1969.
They beat the Braves to go to the World Series.
All right, so that was the
NLDS.
Well, was there an NLDS? There's an NLCS. Okay. So, yeah. So, I can only go back that far. So, in my lifetime.
That's so long ago. I just have very fond memories of just being so happy that they won. I mean, like, and then you think, and then you look back at this. I showed Al this yesterday. We I got this text, and it's the Mets of 69. On the Ed Sullivan Show, singing "You Gotta Have Heart."
Yeah,
and you got to go back and look at it just to see that the group of players that were on that team.
Yeah, it's amazing how young Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, Buddy Harrelson, Ed Charles. I mean, it was Don Clendenin. It was amazing looking at the guys.
And I don't think what's his name, Nolan Ryan, was singing.
He wasn't. Him and Tom Seaver were having fun.
They were talking to each other.
You know,
those two guys standing next to each other at that age, on that stage.
They were cutting up. That's something that people don't say anymore either.
Nobody said, they were cutting up, right?
They were cutting up. David Long Branch, what's going on, David?
What's going on, guys? Okay, I have a message for Met fans. Attention, Met fans. Today is a day to celebrate. This happens to be, in my opinion, the best regular season win the Mets have had ever. I do not want to hear complaints. I do not want to hear who is the bigger Met fan. Who cares?
Exactly. Right. Thank you, David. Thank you.
Best win in Met history in the regular season. Let's celebrate today.
Absolutely.
We are. By the way, we are.
And we are, David. A great call. And
yes.
And this is, you can't, there was a couple of calls that's not representative of the entire fan base, but it does kind of show you a piece of that inferiority complex Met fan that is just never happy and wants to go out and get you. Like, oh, you doubted me, you doubted me, you doubted me. All right, but by the way, you didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like these, Francisco Lindor hit the home run. Not you, Daryl in Queens.
Yeah.
So, like, what are we doing? Just chill. And chill out. Having a good time.
Hey, Edwin Diaz was the one that didn't cover first base. Edwin Diaz was the one that gave up the Albies double. Edwin Diaz was the one that allowed second base to be stolen in the bottom of the ninth. I got this poop.
I got this poop.
Yeah, you got it all right.
Nothing makes me more like upset, like stomach turning when someone offers somebody congratulations when their team wins that they're a fan of.
Why?
Because they didn't do anything.
I know, but
congratulations is meant for getting a promotion or retiring.
I don't agree with that. Or having a baby. I don't agree with that.
Getting married.
You know how much you have invested in these teams.
Congratulations.
How much time you spend. How much time you spend. And, you know, sports takes us away from real life, and that's the best part of this job is that we get to talk about it the next morning. We get to talk about the good things, the bad things. Unfortunately for us, we tend to focus on the negative in this medium. And now is a morning where we can wake up and we can focus on the positive. Kind of like the Knicks trade on Friday night.
Yeah. Yep. A lot to talk about there. Brian in Sayville. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, G, I just wanted to have you back on this as well. I'm also 42, went through all the things with the Mets, but I was getting torn apart by my friends yesterday for not taking off work to watch this game. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. If I knew Lindor was going to do that, I would have, I don't know, somehow find a way to watch it, but it's ridiculous.
Listen, you're
I'm a Mets fan.
But Brian, let me ask you a question. You have a phone. You couldn't watch on the phone while you were at work?
Well, I'm a teacher, so it was kind of hard to do that, but I was getting score updates. I tried my best, but, you know, it doesn't make me less of a fan. Sorry.
Right. You know what? Exactly. You got your responsibility.
That's another Sable guy.
You're a man.
That guy, he's going to lean toward you anyway.
Well, you know what we do in Sable. We
take care of our business. Back. You got your backs. Everybody's got your back.
Got your backs. And you know what? You take care of your business.
Take care of your business.
You go to work. You do the right thing.
Right.
You know, you go home. You feed the family. You take care of your kids. You go out to the Portly Villager. You throw a couple back. You come home.
By the way, did you go yesterday?
I did.
Because I see you got the sweatshirt on
today.
No,
I don't. I did not.
Well, I definitely thought you were going to be there.
No, I didn't. I was at home. I'm telling you, you got. If you can get through a Monday, like a nice quiet Monday, it just makes everything else so much better during a week. Like we have a lot of these golf outings on Monday. We're going to have yours coming up.
Yeah.
It makes the week feel so much longer when you don't get like a nice quiet Monday and you're drinking, you're carousing on a Monday.
Now we're carousing?
On a Monday. It makes the week so much longer.
So cut up on a Monday.
Cutting up, exactly. I didn't want to cut up. I wanted to relax at home.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
So a quick thank you to Michelle Blake Wilson for inviting me to yesterday's golf tournament at Waikikil. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome, awesome day for the Harlem Junior Tennis and Education Program. And I have to tell you, you know, you and I have a favorite golfer that is on the PGA Tour.
Slim Reaper?
The Slim Reaper.
Akshay Bhatia. Yeah,
Akshay Bhatia, right? So I had my own Slim Reaper that I played with yesterday.
Okay.
This young man was amazing. He's 15 years old.
Oh, wow. Look at him.
He's 125 pounds. His name's Charlie Doyle.
Wow.
This kid was hitting the ball 50 yards farther than me on the tee box.
That is awesome.
And he is a great kid, and he's a lefty, just like Akshay was.
Wow.
So I was thinking, man, this kid's a slim reaper. He's a buck 25. He's hitting the ball like 310 yards.
Get him the Callaway endorsement.
I mean, I'm going to try to get him endorsement. So he doesn't need an endorsement. He'll be fine. I think, you know, he could probably be an astrophysicist. He could be a golfer. He can do whatever he wants in life, I can tell you.
Yeah, sounds like me at that age, Jerry.
And that was great.
Astrophysicist. That was right on that track. How about you?
So,
weren't you?
No.
Could be a pro golfer or an astrophysicist.
You know how you play in these golf tournaments and they give you nice gifts when you get there and everything? They give you a nice shirt, whatever. Yeah. Look at this little bad baby. I stole one for you.
Oh, wow. What is this?
This is a Guinness sleeve.
Oh, so you could. Wow.
And I've never seen this. It's a Carhartt Guinness sleeve. And it's got the beers in it. Is that awesome?
Pretty cool.
Wow. So I got this for you.
Oh, you give this to me?
Well, I have one myself.
Oh, okay. Wow. Like
I took the guy that I was, Jason, I was sharing his bag. So I'm taking yours.
Oh, thank you. Oh, there my you go. Goodness.
So
what
there
a
you go,
great Chris. Idea.
Isn't that awesome?
Alcohol in a sleeve that you could just throw in the cart like that?
Yes.
Like, I mean, yeah, it's like instead of having like bows and arrows out there, I'll just have cans of beer around my
house. Al, we've been talking about the bring your own. This is the perfect thing to walk in with.
You always said like when you go to a bring your own, if you bring a bottle of wine, there's things to bring. There's never anything good to put a beer in.
That's pretty
That's
cool.
That's what I'm saying right there. Sleeve. You got a sleeve of beer.
A wizard sleeve, as they say.
That is great.
Yeah, look at that. Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm always thinking of you, Biggs. You know that.
I know you do. So this will be great. We have a couple golf days coming up, and maybe depends on where we're playing. I'll sneak my sleeve in.
Should we celebrate the Mets now? Drink some beer? I'm kidding. I know.
I mean,
I have some Casamigos in the refrigerator.
We should not.
Actually, I got a lot of stuff in my office.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, Pat Boyle knows.
Yeah, of course he does.
All right, Jerry, what's going on this hour?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I would like to take you back a few months, several months, as a matter of fact. Going to give you 20 seconds of a glim view of Citi Field if you remember this day against the Tigers.
Kerry Carpenter, after freezing, made a nice play. Sure did. Kept the no-hit bit intact for the Tigers, marking the 13th straight inning without a hit for the Mets. Ooh. Nobody in the ballpark. 0-5, hitless through 7. Feels like rock bottom.
And it was crazy. It wasn't rock bottom. They got to 11 games under, which felt like rock bottom. And so we take it to yesterday now. Mets and Braves in Atlanta. One of the both teams need a win to get into the postseason with this doubleheader. Obviously, if you got the first one, you could kind of breathe easy. So the Mets have a 6-run inning, take a 6-3 lead. The Braves come right back, score 4 of Edwin Diaz, essentially. Phil Maton part of that, too. And the Mets trailing 7-6 all of a sudden. And here comes Francisco Lindor with a runner on base in the top of the ninth inning.
And Lindor gets under one to center field. Harris going back. It's back out near the wall. And it's out of here. Linsanity again. Francisco Lindor flips the script with a 2-run homer. And the Mets go in front 8-7.
But they weren't done. Again, Gary on SNY, because the Braves came back in the previous inning after the Mets got some runs, including a Brandon Nimmo 2-run homer that put them up by 3. This was just a 1-run game. Edwin Diaz was putrid in the 8th inning. He went back out for the 9th. Could he get the save?
Ground ball. Lindor waits on it. He's got it. And the ball game is over. From 0-5 to OMG. What a ride. The Mets are going to the postseason in 2024.
Again, Gary.
All right, so here's a question for you. Do you think he had that prepared, or just said it off the top of his head?
100% prepared. 100%.
I don't know. I don't know that Gary prepares things.
I feel like it's prepared.
Maybe.
I don't think he prepared things normally, but something like this, I mean, to 0-5, to OMG, that's not off the top of
his head. He could have said it after the second game had they lost the first game.
Yeah.
Do you think, had they lost the first game, that they would have come back and won the second game after the way this game would have ended?
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm. I could make the case that first game might have taken so much out of them with the way they came. Like, if Edwin Diaz would have blown the save a second time.
Well, they take it out of the Braves. Braves went out and won 3-0.
Yeah, a little different, though.
Yeah, the Braves didn't play your home team. I mean, come on.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. They won. Here was Lindor. What a journey to get to this point. And Mets are going to the postseason.
It feels really cool. It feels amazing. This is what it's all about. You know, you grind 162 plus the month I have a spring training to get to a position like this, and here we are.
And here was Pete Alonso fired up to go to the postseason.
It was an uphill battle all year, but I mean, to be able to celebrate this way, oh, it just feels so good. It feels so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jose Iglesias, happy to bring the wins and the OMG to this group.
It's a dream come true, be able to hold this sign right here, you know, full of champagne. We deserve it. You guys deserve it. You know, the fans, they're along the way with us every single night. Appreciate that. The job is not done, but enjoy it. God bless you all.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's David Stearns. He grew up a Met fan. One hell of a game that I just watched.
In terms of regular season Mets games, I'm not sure I can come up with one that tops this. In terms of both the ups and downs, what it meant to do this here, it was important for us to do this here, and frankly, who did it at the end?
In terms of meaning Lindor. Now, here was their owner, Steve Cohen.
About an hour in real time.
Everything that happened from the eighth inning on, yeah. Top of the eighth on, yep.
It probably a little bit less than an hour, but man, it was like 10 batters in the eighth. And then you had, obviously, the Braves come back up with, I think, seven guys in the ninth,
yeah.
Or the bottom of the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mets turning it around in the ninth. I mean, like, it was crazy.
Here was Steve Cohen. All of this on SNY. The work not done.
We made the playoffs, right? That's a great first step, right? And certainly the team hasn't made it that often. So certainly up there. But we still got a lot more to go.
11th time. What's the matter?
What?
You don't like that?
What are you staring at me for?
Nothing. I'm not.
Why?
Just checking to see how you're doing over there.
Why?
Just to make sure you're okay.
I mean, I'm fine.
So in game two, Atlanta wins 3-0. They also qualify for
He stared me down that entire Steve Cohen cut.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
What did Steve Cohen, do you not like what he said?
No, it was fun.
Okay, here's Brian Snitker's right? speech to his team after they got in.
You're never, ever guaranteed this and enjoy the hell out of it. I don't care how in the hell we get in. We're in now, fellas, because anything can happen in this week's season. Congratulations. Have a great time. Here we go. Let's go!
So they're in San Diego now.
You know what that
tonight.
Sound was? Wow.
What's
in the background? Celebratory cork.
Yes, it was.
That's what that was.
It sure was.
Mm-hmm.
They were popping cork.
Cork.
So now
cork.
Jesus. Now you get to some celebrations of sorts. Figure this. All of this in the span of just a few hours. Frank the Tank.
Mm.
Fitting. Ooh. That the Mets and Lindor do this.
A microcosm. Down 3-0, okay? Focus on game two. And then you find a way to take the lead, and only to give it up. But then Francisco Lindor. I don't care. 50-50. MVP is most valuable player, not best player. Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball. Francisco Lindor is the most valuable player. In baseball.
So fair to say he's had a nice day?
No, yeah. It sounded, that's as good. Calm. That's as calm and as yeah. happy as I've sounded. It hurt him in a long time.
Apparently, and I didn't know this, he either bet on the game or he's a Dolphin fan.
He's a Dolphins fan.
Here was he after that horrendous loss.
That was, without a doubt, the most pathetic, putrid, feeble, clueless, nothing, heartless, ballless, gutless, piece of brainless mother goddamn mother worst mother performance I have ever seen. Mike McDaniel, genius. You know, Wile E. Coyote don't use a genius, and the result is the same. The anvil coming down, whee, bang.
Man, imagine if the Mets had lost and didn't make it in.
No. Oh, God. I don't know. Is he more passionate? He's got to be a more passionate Met fan.
Yes, I do think so.
Is, right?
I do think so.
So, here's the thing. It's just, Mike McDaniel is a genius when he has Tua Tagovailoa playing quarterback, not his fourth quarterback and one that wasn't even on the team up until 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You can't win in that circumstance. I don't care how great a coach you are. I don't care if you're Vince Lombardi or Bill Belichick. You're not going to win under what the Dolphins have to deal with now.
Good job, Frank. You got Boomer respond with a real take there. After all that, I didn't hear a single word of that.
But that is so unrealistic. Like that take. Like, what do you think the coach is dealing with?
Oh man,
that's not the coach's fault.
Yeah,
coach has not changed.
You can make a case, though, this is where the coach really steps up in these times of adversity, when your players aren't there.
Matt LaFleur did so with Malik Willis.
Yeah.
But Malik Willis is a little bit different. He'd been in camp with Green Bay over the fact that Tyler Huntley wasn't doing anything.
Well, he says mutter, too. He goes, he really listens when he says mutter effer. Mutter! Nutting!
By the way, there was more of that, too. Right. I had a cut it off at some
they
point.
They did nothing.
Yeah.
Those mutters.
What they didn't do was they didn't score. Oh. They lost 31-12. They basically had no offense to speak of at all. Tyler Huntley, as you point out, was just signed. He was 14 of 22, 96 yards. Did have a rushing touchdown. Did he? I wrote that down. Maybe not. Tony Pollard ran for 88 yards and such. I'm not sure. But the Titans win. Both teams 1-3. Also, the Lions beat the Seahawks 42-29. Jared Goff, a perfect 18 of 18, 292, two scores, and he caught a touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. So the Lions are 3-1. The Seahawks are 3-1. In the loss, Geno Smith, 395, a touchdown.
He threw like 56 passes.
He did.
Now, I will say this. Now, here we are, week four. If you look at some of the scores now, some of the offenses are starting to wake up.
Yeah, preseason's over.
Right. Preseason's over. Defenses are getting injured, and offenses are starting to percolate.
Yep, they are. And sadly, Pete Rose passed away, as did Dikembe Mutombo. Rose did not see a cause of death, whereas Mutombo, we know, was brain cancer at the age of 58.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Playoff Baseball Tuesday. The Mets are in. Of course, the Yankees await to see who their opponent is going to be. I believe game one Saturday for them against either the Orioles or the Royals. But the Mets play tonight, this evening, if you will, against the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's get to some of these Mets calls this morning. 888-808-1019. Mike in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. It is. How are we doing, gentlemen, man?
We're doing great, Mike. Doing? What's up, man?
Oh, man, let me tell you, it's great the way they've done it all season. You know, when you watch games with the Mets all year, okay, they could be up 10-2, they could be down 10-2. They're climbing walls, they're diving, they're getting dirty. You know, Mendoza was a great find, okay? Stearns is a baseball man that we needed, okay? And I always knew, like, halfway through the year, when there's something special about a team. But I looked up last week, Boom, and you know what the Mets record was, brother? 86-69.
I get it. We get it. We know what 86-69 mean in Met history. I know that.
86-69, man. And you got to put a captain on this man's chest next year, okay? He's got to be.
Yeah, and listen, I'm sure that has been talked about. I'm sure that it is a real possibility to have Francisco Lindor be the captain of the Mets. And the 86-69 stuff, believe it, enjoy it, have fun with it. But all we talked about with the Knicks and Rangers was 1994 and the anniversary, and it feels the same and all that stuff. And
well, I'll tell you one, they just got to keep going. And I just hope that there's been a lot of travel the last 5-6 days. And there's been a lot of games in between. They didn't play well those first two games in Milwaukee. Milwaukee reminds me a little bit of Kansas City back in 2015. They're not as good a team. I'm not saying that, but the way that they play, the way that they steal bases, and they're going to push the Mets. And, you know, you hope the Mets, obviously, they have a familiarity of going to Milwaukee because they were just there. And I just hope that they're not exhausted mentally from what they just went through. And quite frankly, you know, Edwin Diaz is not going to be available tonight. I doubt it, and which is fine with me, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be this may be you got to have to lean on as many innings as Severino can give you, hopefully. But I think Budo is someone who is stretched out, can pitch multiple innings, has been a great asset for them, because you're not going to see Maton or Diaz tonight. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks that it couldn't get wrapped up earlier, but
it's kind of what the wild card should be. wild card should be teams that just that get in. And in this case, because of what happened with Hurricane Helene last week, the Mets and the Braves were stretched to this doubleheader yesterday. And now, I mean, the Braves have to go out to San Diego.
Yeah.
And that ain't easy. And, of course, now the Mets got to go to Milwaukee, and they got to turn around in less than 24 hours and start their series.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a case that the momentum helps them. You can make a case that this craziness and the celebrating and two games and everything is going to hurt them. I'm not sure. I just...
It's baseball, Susan.
Anything can happen. It's a weird game, baseball, you know? You never know.
Strange spot.
Strange spot. Let's go to Jerry in Manalapan. What's going on, Jerry?
How you doing, guys? Big fan. Yesterday, I was at my daughter's volleyball game. She saw me screaming at my SMY app. She didn't know what was going on. but it was great. My question to you guys, would you rather have them had won last week in Atlanta if those games were played, or had the game you had yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think now looking back, the game we had yesterday, obviously, I mean, I was mad that they handled it poorly as far as not getting ahead of the weather, knowing what the forecast was going to be. But, I mean, in a way, you could say that the way that it broke provided one of the most memorable moments we've seen with this franchise in a long time. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want it to be the end, though. You don't want it to be the end.
As far as overall baseball is concerned, I think that was a great day yesterday because of the way the game was played out. And actually, both teams ended up making it to the playoffs anyway. But that eighth and ninth inning was ridiculous.
Yeah, plus they were the only game in town. You know, everybody else is waiting around to see that Monday's an off day, and here they were playing. So certainly a big day for baseball. Let's go to Corey in Virginia. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, GOA Boomer.
What's
great
up, man?
Great day to be a Mets fan.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
You know, I just want to say, Boomer, you said something very subtly earlier. You were saying how you were on the golf course, but you were texting your friends and family in the excitement.
Yep.
And I think everybody was doing that. People know me. I've called in before. I got married at Chase Stadium. I'm a psychotic Mets fan. I was down on them back in May and had a tirade, and they turned it around, and I've had baseball all year. And we're not done yet, Boomer. But, Boomer, I wanted to thank you because you couldn't be more true. One of the things I haven't spoken to one of my brothers in over 5 years, and he's sort of like the guy I always went to for life, for everything, for advice, and I leaned on him being my older brother. Yesterday, as the game was going on, we were both working and listening, and I just texted him, and we were just texting back and forth about the Mets as though nothing else mattered. So baseball really is ingrained, at least being a New Yorker, being a Mets fan, and family as well. And yesterday was an incredible day, and I just want to say to my brother, I love you, Jimmy. And, you know, sports, sometimes maybe that's all you talk about is family, but it brings us together. And let's just keep going with the Mets. Sorry, I got a little sentimental, but this team blew me away this year.
Yeah, that's all right, Corey. Don't you worry about it. You know what
did he do to you that you didn't talk to him for 5 years?
Yeah, did he steal money from you or something?
No. You know, family things. Just you say something stupid and, you know, sister and all this and that. I'm going to tell you this. All my fault. You know what? Because I don't care. I love my brother, and it's just so great that we texted
today. Look at that. Taking ownership this morning.
See, this is what happens.
And he's listening. He's listening. He's listening right now. I know he is. And
I just
want to say I love you, Jimmy.
We love you, Jimmy. Jimmy, we love you.
But this is what happens when a team wins. Corey, have a great day, all right?
Have a great day, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I will. You guys, too. Let's go, Matt.
Yes. All right, Corey. See, like, this is a beautiful thing.
God.
I mean, I'm...
But you wiping away tears?
No,
I had
a little sand in my eye this morning. I didn't get it out.
Okay,
all right. But that's touching.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you saw Ethan Wilson, longtime Mets PR guy, in tears yesterday.
Steve Cohen and his wife were crying.
They were crying.
I'm sure David Stearns was crying.
Yeah. Then you got Corey and Jimmy back together after
Evan was crying,
half
his pants
decade.
Off.
He had his pants off.
I mean, it's a lot. See, this is the type of thing that like a winning friend. Could you imagine if the Jet fan could feel this? They haven't felt it in a long time. They've forgotten what it. You know, Mets and Jets, very similar. A lot of kind of the same thought process goes into both teams.
Yeah,
and it would be nice for the Jet fan to be able to experience this.
It would be great. And by the way, you know, I mean, it wasn't just Boomer who talked about texting family and friends. I mean, I did mention I called my mom. We talked on the phone, you know. Just want a little credit for that, you know.
And your mom was very emotional, right?
Very emotional,
see, this is the type of thing. This is very why, like, we need winners. We got to have winners around here. Like you see what the Knicks and the Rangers did last year, how they galvanized us when the Islanders were in the bubble when we were going through that COVID nonsense?
Yeah.
Remember what the Islanders did for New York? And
they did. They uplifted us.
It was. See, this is the thing that sports does for people.
Yeah. You know, there was a guy I hadn't talked to in over a year because he said something stupid that annoyed me. He was also a Mets fan. I didn't think about texting him, though, yesterday. No. I'm like Corey and Jimmy. Like, now that I'm thinking about
Corey and Jimmy now are...
They're back together.
Back together.
And it was all Corey's fault. And we knew it was Corey's fault.
Fault.
We've been talking about this for 5 years.
Sounds like he said something disparaging about...
Jimmy?
No,
the wife.
Wife. Yeah,
That's what sister-in-law. It sounds like. It didn't sound like it was a good thing about the sister-in-law.
How'd you pick up on that?
I heard that.
I heard that.
He said that.
Oh, did he? I missed it.
He goes,
About somewhere, his brother's wife?
Something about sister-in-laws or something, yeah?
Wow. Air it out today on Boomer and Geo.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.